RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo asks ministries to maximize capital expenditure. Afghan President Ashraf lauds Indonesian success in managing plurality. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has asked ministers and state institutions to maximize capital expenditure so that the benefit of development spending felt by the people would become bigger. The president said at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday that goods and personal expenditures which are usually should be crossed out and be included in the capital expenditure. He also stated the efforts to maximize the capital expenditure can be made through budget retrenchment. The aim of the retrenchment is to make capital expenditure bigger. This is done by shifting expenditure on goods and personnel which are less useful to capital expenditure. Afghan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani has lauded Indonesian achievements in managing plurality and maintaining political as well as economic stability in the country. President Joko Widodo views that other countries have also praised Indonesia as the largest Muslim country for its ability to exercise democracy in parallel with Islamic teachings. He added that the presence of tolerance and recognition of plurality was also appreciated. Many countries have sought Indonesian assistance to help in reconciliation process among conflicting parties, including those in Afghanistan. President Joko Widodo also stated that many world leaders have visited Indonesia because of political and economic stability in the country. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir emphasized that research should generate innovation to meet people's needs and improve their prosperity. The minister said while giving a speech during the first anniversary celebration of the partnership fund named UK-Indonesia Science and Technology Fund in the Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education office in Jakarta on Wednesday, that in the future research could provide benefits for the people in order to improve their welfare. Hence, it is not only about research fund, but also the research itself that must generate innovation that can really improve the welfare of Indonesian people. Minister Muhammad Nasir added that Indonesia and the United Kingdom are collaborating to improve research, innovation, science development and technology through the partnership fund. Indonesia has provided scholarship for 100 Afghan students to study in various universities in the country. Education and Culture Minister Muhajir Effendi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the scholarship would be part of bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Afghanistan and the Memorandum of Understanding on Cooperation that was signed previously. President Joko Widodo noted in a joint press statement that Indonesia has built the Indonesian Islamic Center, ICC, in Kabul, Afghanistan. The president also pointed out that IIC is aimed at encouraging the spread of Islam. It would provide facilities to perform prayers as well as health and education facilities for the Afghan people. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ambassador of Russian Federation to Indonesia, Michael Galushin, on Wednesday in Jakarta appreciated the governor of Indonesia that expressed condolences delivered by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry on Saint Petersburg's tragedy last April 3rd. In his official statement, The Indonesian government condemned the suicide bombing terror as well as conveyed its solidarity to the people and government of Russia in a such situation. In regard to this, Ambassador Michael Galushin said that the Indonesian statement has encouraged Russian people to live through the situation.
I would also like to emphasize that I was very much satisfied with and I appreciate the statement issued yesterday by the Foreign Minister of Indonesia on behalf of the Indonesian government, which expresses Indonesian government's condolences in connection with this tragedy, which condemns the terrorism and which confirms solidarity with the Russian people in current situation, in current conditions. We are very much encouraged by this statement of the Indonesian government.
Furthermore, Ambassador Michael Galushin also said that President Vladimir Putin has also received phone contacts from several heads of state, namely President Erdogan of Turkey, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Saudi Arabian King Salman bin Aziz Al Saud, and President Donald Trump of the United States. Ambassador Galushin views that each head of state confirmed the necessity of strengthening joint efforts to fight against international terrorism. In the occasion, Ambassador Galushin further affirmed Russian stance to fight against terrorism. Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Iskandar Zulkarnain, and Chief Executive Officer of Institute of the Recherche et le Développement of France, Jean-Paul Moti, strengthened research cooperation by signing Memorandum of Understanding at Biological Research Center of LIPI in Bogor, West Java on Wednesday. The increase of cooperation of the two research institutes is done continuously, and it can be proof that LIPI and IRD have signed MOU in 2012. Chairman Iskandar Zulkarnain said that the focus on the research cooperation is such biodiversity research.
With regard to the urgency of the cooperation, we have agreed to sign the MOU to another 4 years. The field of research activities will be more focused on biodiversity and marine sciences, climate change, and disaster risk management. I also encourage more cooperation on interdisciplinary approach, including social sciences and humanities.
Iskandar Zulkarnain also explained the scientific cooperation between LIPI and IRD will be able to give important contribution for the development of science, especially for Indonesia and France. He said that scientific cooperation will provide big benefit for the involved sciences of the two countries. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia Nancha Lofund Mukhopadhyaya confirmed in Jakarta on Wednesday that India is ready to meet the needs of import meat quota to Indonesia before Ramadan. On the sidelines of her visit to several Indian business people exhibition in the Food Hotel Indonesia, the ambassador said that she leaves to the state logistic agency Bula to decide the amount of meat requirement. However, she affirmed that the Indian meat exporters will be able to fulfill the meat demand for the country.
In fact, last year we were hoping the imports would begin by Ramadan, but we missed the deadline last year. So we are very ready this year. I think, again, how much is to be lifted from India has to be decided by Bulog, but definitely the Indian meat exporters are ready to meet any quantity that you require, and we hope to be able to make a big difference to the people of Indonesia during the Ramadan period when, you know, the requirements are different.
The government of Indonesia has decided to open frozen buffalo meat import market as an attempt to lower meat prices in Indonesia. This year, the Minister of Trade is determined to meet the target of buffalo meat imported from India amounting to 100,000 tons by June 2017. Regarding Ramadan this year, the Ministry noted that Indonesia needs about 116,000 tons of meat, which will be imported from India, plus the stock domestic supply with about 70,000 tons of meat. The last item, Indian Ambassador to Indonesia Nancha Lofund Mukhopadhyaya expressed her happiness with the participation of several Indian business people at the 14th Food Hotel Indonesian Festival in Jakarta. The festival, held from 5th to 8th on April, is the organized major association platform for linking international supplier and customer in the food and beverage and hospitality industry. During the festival, business people from several friendly countries exhibited the benefits of their products to be offered to the people of Indonesia. The Hotel Indonesia Exhibition is participated in by business people from foreign countries like the United States, Japan, North Africa, Malaysia, France, Saudi Arabia, and Australia. In a visit to one of Indian tenants in the exhibition, Ambassador Nancha appreciated the opportunity given to Indian business people to participate in the event. She feels that this is the first year for them to participate and show their quality in mid-sector.
It's of course part of the what started last year with the opening up of the meat sector to Indian exporters, for which we're very grateful to the Indonesian government. And I think this is a win-win situation. It's good for Indian exporters and it's very good for Indonesian consumers as well.
Furthermore, Ambassador Nancha hopes that the amount of meat export from India to Indonesia can be increased due to high demand of Indonesian market. She also affirmed that India has the capability to fully support meat demand in Indonesia with competitive price. Meanwhile, Director of HMA Agro Industry Limited, Gulsat Ahmed, appreciated Indonesian government professionalism to accommodate the need of foreign business people to do business and invest within the country. He said that his company is committed to increasing meat export to Indonesia with halal, hygienic and organic products. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Listener, our commentary today entitled To Jointly Combat Against Narcotics and Drug Abuses. A few years had passed since the implementation of death penalty to the grand convicts of hazardous narcotics and drugs. But such extraordinary crime does not stop at all. In its report, the National Narcotic Agency, BNN, also mentioned that there has been a high increase of narcotics and drug cases handled over the last 2 years. On the one hand, this means that the phenomenon is like an iceberg in this illegal business. So the vigorous eradication operation against drug trafficking come up by one case that had been untouched by the law. On the other hand, the increase in the number of cases may be because rampant drug trafficking, which is increasingly becoming a lucrative business due to higher demand. In addition, recently various types of new drugs have emerged that strongly suggest it is the way that this business is still running. When someone was under strong pressure, he or she might easily consume the drugs to get rid of. Initially, they might just try and try, but when addictive, the drugs make them addictive too. Then the problem is drug-like virus that can easily infect healthy people. That's why the fight against drug abuse is not possible only by relying on law enforcement, including ad hoc institutions such as BNN. Like it or not, the success to combat against narcotics and drugs must involve all levels of society, ranging from the smallest unit of the family. The role of the family is certainly very significant, as it is believed to be the best watchdog in the preventive effort. In a broader scope, drug-related crime is a common enemy of all countries. Each country certainly does not want their country harmed because of the illegal spread of drug uses. It is natural that some countries are expected to jointly combat against the narcotics and drugs. Let's take, for example, we should express highest appreciation to the Law Enforcement Agency of Taiwan that swiftly disseminated information to Indonesian National Police Polri on the delivery of drugs by Taiwanese citizens to Indonesia. Through the information, in March 2017, Polri was able to catch and to secure not only the sender, the goods to be smuggled, but also the recipient or the customer. Here, it can be understood that in combating against drug trafficking, Taiwan did not protect its citizens from the possibility of death penalty in Indonesia. That's one of the commitments that should be demonstrated by any country. The impact may not be felt for some countries, but if the drug abuse occurs rampantly anywhere in the world in a short time, the dangers of drugs will endanger everybody's life. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on April 6, 1945, about kamikaze action of Japanese Army. On 6 April 1945, in the World War II, Japanese kamikaze airplanes began to commit suicide attacks to U.S. aircraft carrier. At the time, Japanese pilots hit warships, which were charged with bombs. The suicide caused huge losses in the side of the United States. However, because the great power of the Allied forces, the attacked Japanese forces, which joined with Germany and Italy, finally succeeded to beat them. Japanese army was succeeded to be repelled from East Asian zones, which was earlier occupied. As revenge, in August 1945, the United States bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki with a bomb atom. The bomb, which destroyed the cities and killed hundreds of Japanese civilians, ended the World War II. The next event is that year of 1960 is about National Fisherman Day. The government of Indonesia, as form of appreciation to fishermen, in 1960 decided on 6 April as National Fisherman Day. The day is commemorated to elevate the dignity of the fisherman's hero of national protein. The commemoration can also bring about an additional revenue source to them through interesting and attractive activities which are able to lure tourists. The National Fisherman Day is hoped to boost government's awareness in a bid to increase the fishermen's welfare. And the last event was in 1994, when Rwandan Civil War occurred. The Rwandan Civil War was a conflict in African Republic Rwanda between Rwandan Armed Forces, FAR, representing the Hutu-dominated government of Provincial General Habyarimana, and Rwandan Patriotic Front, RPF, a rebel group composed mostly of Rwandan Tutsi refugees who had been residents in Uganda. The war was fought in two phases. The first phase began on 1st October 1990, with RPF invasion of the northeast of the country, ending on 4th August 1993. With the signing of the Arusha Accords, the second phase began following the assassination of Habyarimana on 6 April 1994 and the outbreak of Rwandan genocide. The RPF resumed fighting on 7 April and the civil war ended with an RPF victory on 18th of July 1994. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Through ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, the National Banking Acts to Get Through ASEAN Region. Financial Service Authority, OJK, encourages Indonesian national banks to be able to expand to neighboring countries in ASEAN region. The expansion of domestic banking sector is carried out in the frame of the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in the banking sector in 2020. Head of the Department of Communication and International Affairs of OJK, Triyono, at the media gathering event in Bogor, West Japan last Saturday, said that Indonesia's bank should open to find markets in ASEAN region. He also said that the Indonesian government is committed to integrating the national financial sector. Such commitment must be given to all ASEAN countries proportionally, even though the number is different. Therefore, domestic banks should begin to open themselves to find out markets in ASEAN region. Triyono added that through the ASEAN Economic Community, ASEAN banks will mutually integrate their businesses in the financial sector. He said that the position of Indonesian major banks in ASEAN is still relatively low. The business scale in terms of total asset and capital major banks in Indonesia, such as Bank Mandiri, BRI, BNI, BCA, is still relatively small compared to banks in other ASEAN countries, especially Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. On the other hand, the competitiveness of banks in Indonesia needs to be encouraged to compete in ASEAN region, either through regulation or supervisory action. On the other hand, the Financial Service Authority also assessed that there is a gap for foreigners to master Indonesian banking assets. Director of Bank Supervision at OJK, Herlianto Anun, remarked that why the foreign banks open branch office in Indonesia is that they are given space to contribute in Indonesian economy. They also assist financial inclusiveness with the expansion of public access to services of financial sector, and owners constantly strengthen bank capital. Even so, up to December 2016, the banking sector still the backbone of economic growth through credit financing in Indonesia. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has asked ministry and state institutions to maximize capital expenditure so that the benefit of development spending felt by the people would become bigger. Afghan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani has lauded Indonesian achievements in managing plurality and maintaining political as well as economic stability in the country. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, emphasized that research should generate innovation to meet people's needs and improve their prosperity. Indonesia has provided scholarship for 100 Afghan students to study in various universities in the country. Education and Culture Minister Muhajir Effendi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the scholarship would be part of bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Afghanistan. Ambassador of the Russian Federation to Indonesia, Michael Galusian, on Wednesday in Jakarta appreciated the government of Indonesia that expressed condolences delivered by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry on the Saint Petersburg tragedy on last April 3rd. Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Iskandar Soekarnain, and Chief Executive Officer of Institute of the Restre Development of France, Jean-Paul Mouti, strengthened research cooperation by signing Memorandum of Understanding at Biological Research Center of LIPI in Bogor, West Java on Wednesday. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, Nancha Lofund Mokofadaya, confirmed in Jakarta on Wednesday that India is ready to meet the needs of import meat quota to Indonesia before Ramadan. On the sidelines of her visit to several Indian business people exhibition in Food Hotel Indonesia, the ambassador said that she leaves to the state logistic agency to decide the amount of meat requirement. However, she affirmed that Indian meat exporters will be able to fill the meat demand for the country. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, Nancha Lofund Mokofadaya, expressed happiness with the participation of several Indian business people at the 14th Food Hotel Indonesian Festival in Jakarta. The festival held from 5th to 8th of April is the recognized major Southeast Asian platform for linking international suppliers and customers in the food, beverage and hospitality industry. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listener, Sumba is one of the islands in East Nusa Tenggara province. The island is famous to its vast savanna, Pasola cultural attraction, and original tradition village. In addition, the island also has a unique nature, such as the Manapu Tanah Daru National Park and Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park. Interestingly, in the two areas of the national parks, there is a beautiful natural waterfall, namely Lapopu Waterfall. This time, I will invite you to know the uniqueness of Lapopu Waterfall, which is the highest waterfall on the island of Sumba. The waterfall has 90 meters high. The waterfall also becomes a tourism destination of foreign and domestic tourists on the island of Sumba. Besides being a favorite tourism place, Lapopu Waterfall actually used as a source of water for local people and potentially as a micro hydropower plant. Listener, the waterfall is located in the Hatikoluku village, Wanukaka sub-district, West Sumba Regency. To go to Lapopu Waterfall, you must first fly to Tambolaka, southwest Sumba. To achieve Tambolaka, you can fly from Denpasar or Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. From Tambolaka or Waitabula, the trip will continue to Waikabubak, the capital of West Sumba. You can ride public transportation to reach Waikabubak. To reach the location of the waterfall, you can rent a car or riding taxi motorcycle, because there is no public transportation to the waterfall. From Waikabubak, you have to continue the trip to Wanokaka. In the region, you have to ask many local people because there are no directions to Lapopo waterfall. Listener, when arriving the entrance gate of the Lapopo waterfall, you can register and pay an entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah. To reach the waterfall location, you have to walk about 500 meters along the Lapopo river banks with rocky terrain. In the middle of the trekking trip, you will also pass by a simple wooden bridge and can only be passed by a maximum of 2 people at a crosswalk. Shortly after that, you already can see how beautiful the Lapopo waterfall is. The water is very clear, bluish green or blue Tosca. The water source itself comes from a large lobang gua. Lapopo is different from other waterfalls in Sumba Island, where the waterfall is completed with step stairs up to the pond. Visiting the waterfall object, you can feel the fresh flow of the waterfalls by swimming in a natural pool, which is formed from the waterfall. The depth of the natural pool is only 2 meters. In the Lapopo waterfall, there are already available various facilities such as toilets and the room to change clothes at the ranger's office at the national park. Unfortunately, there is no restaurant and lodging in the area. If you want to stay overnight, you can stay in the Waikabubak area. The best time to visit the waterfall is in the dry season, which is around May to October, with a little bit flow of water, so it can be enjoyed. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lapopo Waterfall from East Nusa Tenggara. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make Make It Real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about National Film Day 2017. Stay tuned. Listener, March 30, every year is commemorated as the National Film Day. The date is chosen because on March 30, 1950, it was the first day of Darah Endoa or Long March of Siliwangi, directed by Usmar Ismail, film taken. This film is assessed as the first local film that has Indonesian touch. Besides, it was also the first film that was really directed by Indonesian people and produced by the first Indonesian production house, where Usmar Ismail was also recorded as the founder. The Education and Culture Ministry, Creative Economy Agency, and National Film Company also held Indonesian Film Day on March 2017. This year's theme is Celebrating Indonesian Diversity. Through the theme, Indonesian government hopes that Indonesian people can appreciate diversities better than before. There were several activities on 11th until 12th of March in Dome Theater of Muhammadiyah University in Malang, East Java, such as writing a story, parents' dialogue forum, animation making, flipbook animation introduction, animated artwork exhibition, playing an Indonesian film entitled Pasoa and Sang Pemberani. On March 16 to 17, there were also discussion and presentation from regional film community representative. There was also workshop for basic filmmaking on March 6 to 22 in Sidoarjo, and Film Project Expo on March 23 and 24, 2017. One of the interesting parts of this event was to play a film in community and mobile movie theater. On March 21st to 30th, the communities from several regions across Indonesia, such as Aceh, Ambon, Cilacap, Denpasar, Bandar Lampung, Bandung, Kupang, Medan, Malang, Palangkaraya, and Sukabumi held the mobile movie theater simultaneously. Film and Art Celebration of PLRTC was the main event from the whole series of the National Film Day 2017, located in National Film Center on March 30th until April 1st, 2017. PLRTC was holding Indonesian Film History Exhibition, Film Makeup, Film Custom, and officially opened the Layar Indonesia program in Indonesian cinema. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that inform you about National Film Day 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will introduce Indonesian songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening. Sahananya, who familiarly called Ute, has a good talent in singing. Not surprisingly, if Ute also dubbed as the Indonesian diva along with Krisdayanti and Titi Dwijayanti. Thanks to the majority and the myriad accomplishments she achieved in the pop music industry in the country. Ruth Sahananya began to pursue her career in 1987. She is one of the artists who won 3 times the award of the Radio and Television Singing Contest or Bintang Radio Televisi. Having won numerous awards at various national and international competitions, one of which was the live music concert in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, PT Aquarius Musikindo then entrusted to Ute's performance. Her first album was Seputi Kasih in 1987, sold out in the market. Her name increasingly fluttering as the song Kaulah Segalanya. Besides Indonesia, her name also echoed abroad. Many festivals have been followed by Ute, such as Midnight Sun Song Festival in Finland in 1992, awarded the Grand Prix winner and became the guest vocalist in the concert of Mario Frangoli in Herod Articus Acropolis, Athens, or Greece. On October 5-6, 2002, she performed a duet with Mario to a slow song, Naturaleza Muerta. Ruth Sahananya also had a duet with Phil Perry in the event of East-West Collaboration in Peace in Garuda Wisnu Kencana, Jimbaran, Bali, in December 2002. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Yang Terbaik by Ruth Sahananya.
Seribu misteri dalam kehidupan yang ku lewati, tiada jawaban yang dapat ku genggam. Semakin jauh aku tenggelam, selagi ku hingga kau datang memberi
Listener, in 2011, Ruth Sahanaya held a large concert entitled The 25th Anniversary Concert. The show is an anniversary of her silver career in the Indonesian music industry. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Kasih by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Walaupun tak pasti ku hadirkan sayang di setiap langkahmu, masih saja ada yang ku tunggu. Kasih sempurnakan cinta kita, ketulusan cintaku bagai angin lalu. Keraguan itu masih selalu ada. Sampai kapan kasih bahagia kan tercipta? Mengertilah kasih, sisa lagi tuk lengkapi hidupku. Oh kasih, waktu tak menunggu. Hari semakin senja, pastikan kasih, coba tuk mengerti. Andai saja dosa itu tak pernah ku sentuh dulu, kembali dirimu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.